Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Boom! Happy Thanksgiving! Boom! Welcome on in, everybody. On this Turkey Day, I am Rob Ellis in for Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie. Hope you're doing well out there, man. Hope everybody gets a chance to relax, to do it, obviously, in a safe manner. But if you get a chance, I hope you can see your family, spend some time, even if it's virtually. Certainly a different 2020, that's for sure, than I think we all thought it was going to be come, you know, back on January 1st. This has been a year that it's collectively, I think, tested us maybe more than any year for sure. But we're hanging in there, right? We're doing the best that we can. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And we'll get there. Trust me, we will get there eventually. And I know it probably isn't the ideal setup for you right now, but let's do the best that we can to try to get through this. So hopefully next year we're not dealing with any kind of restrictions. And I certainly, my heart goes out to everybody who can't see their family members who have been affected by this in numerous different ways, financially, and certainly more importantly, losing people being ill, et cetera. So Hopefully you get a chance to just kind of relax and be thankful for the things that you do have in your life more than the things that you don't have in your life. All right, speech done. So I'm happy to be with you. Anthony Foley producing the program. Good to see Ant. As always, happy Thanksgiving to my man, Anthony. Look, there is a lot happening in our little world, right? Our sporting world right now on this Thursday as we get closer to yet. I'm for the rest of the year, I'm not using any kind of must-win phrases or statements when it comes to the Eagles. They haven't earned any kind of must-win, so I'm not going there. But certainly, you know, at some point, the bleeding needs to stop. And unfortunately for them, they're in a piece of their schedule right now that doesn't lend itself to getting corrected. You know, they had opportunities last week, the week before, to build up a little bit of equity if this thing got ugly during this stretch, but they weren't able to do it because, quite frankly, they're a bad football team. You know, and it's okay to say it. Like, the notion that this thing's going to get turned around and they're going to flip it, you know, and, oh, man, just waiting. Well, we're 10 weeks in. You know, you can buy that a little bit more if we're 3 weeks in or even 6 weeks maybe. You're still relatively early into the season. We're beyond that. We're well beyond that at this point. And you know what the other part of this is? While the Eagles go backwards, the other teams in the division are playing better football. You know, certainly the Giants are an improved team. I'm not telling you any of them are good because there isn't a good team in this division. So let me be real clear about that. Nobody's good. But the Giants are playing much better football, and I give Joe Judge props. He went about it sort of in an old school, you know, to an extent, an unorthodox way. But it's working. They're getting better. The Washington football team, you know, even though the record isn't great, they're in and battling in most games. And Ron Rivera is getting that thing turned around. Again, two teams that are works in progress. And then you look at the Cowboys. And the Cowboys win last week. First off, they get Andy Dalton back, which is a huge improvement over Ben DiNucci and Garrett Gilbert, you know, fill in the blank. But getting Dalton back, you saw that win against the Vikings, far superior to any win the Eagles have had. The Eagles' three wins this year have come against the Cowboys with DiNucci, against the Giants, where the Giants should have won that game, and against San Francisco when Nick Mullins looked like Ben DiNucci. That's their three wins. So, you know, you can look at all three. Like, we could sit here right now at 10:05 on Thanksgiving Thursday morning and say the Eagles are in first place, and you can delude yourself into thinking that. But we all know what this is. I would say right now they're playing the worst football in the division. And I don't really even think it's a debate. Like, they may have technically the best winning percentage at 350. Think about that for a minute. But they're not playing the best football. And likely, unless the game ends in a tie, either the Cowboys or the Washington football team, a game you can hear right here on 94 WIP at 4:30. How about that for a plug? One of those teams is going to win. And they're going to get the four wins. They're going to have more wins than the Eagles. And the Eagles are going to enter the next five games, certainly, and maybe even beyond that, as underdogs, including this week against Seattle. And last I checked, you know, for point spread purposes, if you're looking to indulge in that one, the Eagles are -5, and the over-under's 50. But we'll have the Texans and the Lions at 12:30. I'm taking you right up until noon, so we got 2 hours of power, so a lot to get to. But we got the Texans and the Lions at 12:30, and then Washington and Dallas from Dallas at 4:30. But the point is, the Eagles are playing horrendous football. If there was something that you could cling to, if there was something you could say that they're doing particularly well, that this is how they get it turned around because the offense has been that good, or the defense has been that good, or the defensive line has played up to its billing and the money they're being paid, or the quarterback is playing great, but they just can't seem to win football games. None of that applies to this team. None of it. So there's a couple things that I want to do today in regards to the Eagles, and I have a bunch of Thanksgiving stuff that I want to do with you. But the first one is, and we're going to play the cut from Doug Peterson where he hems and haws about Carson Wentz being the starter from yesterday, including the Q&A, the sort of back and forth there. But I want to start with this. When you're talking about faith of the principles, meaning when I say principles, I mean the man who constructs the team in Howie Roseman, the man who coaches the team in Doug Peterson, and the quarterback. Now, you know in listening to me that I think too much is put on a win-loss record for the quarterback. Because there's a lot of things that factor in. A quarterback could drive his team all the way down the field with, you know, 38 seconds left and score and put his team up, and the defense gives it up and they lose that game. That goes on the quarterback's record. It's a team sport. So I'm not a big fan of doing that. However, in the case of Carson Wentz, when you're playing as poorly as he's playing, and he's playing about as bad at the position as you can play, especially for someone who isn't a rookie, who's never seen this before, but when you're playing that badly, like he is, you can apply whatever you want to this. Therefore, he's part of the principles. Generally, as your quarterback goes, you go, or at least your offense goes. Like, I'll give you an example. In L.A. with the Chargers, Justin Herbert's been awesome, right? And they did win last week, but they seem to figure out ways to lose or lose shootouts every single week, in large part because their defense gives it up. That's not Justin Herbert's fault. But in this case, Carson Wentz wears a lot of the 3-6-1 record. So my question for you is, when it comes to Howie Doug Carson, the HDC, as we sit here right now, who do you have the least amount of faith in to get this going in the right direction? Which of these guys do you doubt the most will be able to figure this out? I want to start there. Now, I will get into some Sixers because as much as I detest and have detested Dwight Howard throughout his career, he's been a me guy. Of late, he's kind of turned into a dirty player. But if you watch the way that he played and what kind of teammate he was last year with the Lakers. Now, it helps when you have LeBron James and you're a really good team, mind you. But I think he's reached the point in his career where he understands who he is. And he understands what his role is and what he's there to do. And if you heard any of what he said yesterday, I was really impressed. I got to tell you. I think he gets, hey, my role is to come off the bench, defend, rebound, set screens, do some dirty work. My role is also, and this is the key, to help guide and mentor Joel Embiid and some of the younger players. If you're getting a Dwight Howard at this point in his career, who's always kept himself in great shape, with the right mindset, I don't think the timing could have been better, and you're paying him virtually nothing for a year. It's a great signing, and I would have never said that 2-3 years ago. I would have told you I wanted no parts of this guy. But in this spot for this player, I'm pretty excited about it. And I love, absolutely love what's going on with the Sixers this offseason. Love it. Can't wait for the season to start, and we're not all that far away, less than a month. So we can talk some Sixers as well. But it is Thanksgiving. And I want to do a couple things. I mentioned off the top, like we all know what a difficult year this has been. It's been awful. It's been worse for some people, but it's been a challenge, certainly, for almost everybody. And I know from a personal standpoint, it's been an awful year for me. But you don't want to lose sight of the fact of what you're grateful for and what you're thankful for on this day. So I want you to do, it's kind of a twofold thing here. I want you to tell me what you're thankful for in your life and what you're thankful for in sports. For me in life, it's my wife and kids. And it's pretty simple. That's the reason I'm still going at this point. From a sporting standpoint, I'm thankful there's sports. I'm thankful we're talking about the Eagles right now. I'm thankful that I watched college hoops for most of the day yesterday, including Villanova last night. I'm thankful the NBA is right around the corner. So is the NHL. I'm thankful we have baseball to complain about. So I'm thankful for sports because I'm a sports fan and because it makes my life a lot easier as a talk show host to have sports. So you tell me what you're thankful for in life, what you're thankful for in sports. We'll do that. And I do want to get into Thanksgiving cuisine because I'm a strange, picky eater. And I'll get into some of the things I like, some of the things I don't like about Thanksgiving food this year. 215-592-9494. We kick it off with Daryl in Malvern. Daryl, happy Thanksgiving, man. Welcome aboard.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Great topics, great program.
Appreciate
and I wish you and your family the best holiday season.
Same to you. Thanks, Daryl.
I'll start with what I'm thankful for. I am thankful for the fact that I work in a field and have the ability to continue to earn a better than average income and do so remotely.
That's a good one. That's a really good one, considering what's happened with a lot of folks. Really good.
I'm also thankful as a result I'm able to offer my support to people that may need some kind of assistance in these impossible times.
Good for you, Dad. That's what it's all about, man. Good for you.
As far as sports, I would like to be grateful for sports, but I miss an era where sports was sports and it wasn't about the personal lives of the entertainers that earn their living that way. So it's kind of, I'm grateful we have it, but I wish that it was a simpler time where it was about the game and not about ancillary noise and athletes being wannabe policymakers or policy influencers.
Yeah, I hear you. That ship sailed, but I hear you, Darryl. I hear you.
Getting on to your topic, I'm going to take a slightly different and go off the board, and then if you follow my bouncing ball, I'm going to connect the dots, I think, in a way that I haven't heard too many people connect them.
Okay.
And I blame Press Taylor. And here's why I'm going to blame Press Taylor, who, if people out there listening don't know who Press Taylor is, he's the Eagles quarterback's coach.
Yeah, and he's the coordinator of the passing game as well.
Yes. And here's why I blame Press Taylor. people don't realize this, but I'm sure you remember. During the 2016-17 between seasons, off season, whatever you refer to it as, against the wishes of the organization, Carson went and worked out and spent a lot of time with 3DQB, the Southern California company, sometimes referred to as the quarterback whisperers. Mm-hmm. The team was not very happy with him, but I think we'll all agree that 2017 was Carson's best season. Now, you can attribute that to the fact that defensive coordinators didn't have a full book on him yet. You can attribute that to the fact that he was working with John DeFilippo and Frank Reich, who are no longer there. Regardless, he was, in my opinion, mechanically more sound and mentally more capable of executing the game as it unfolded before him. I do not believe that Carson understands the deficiencies in his game, and he's reverted back to the things that people were worried about him coming out of college. Myopia, poor footwork, bad release mechanics, inconsistent release point. A lot of these things were addressed when he worked with 3DQB, and perhaps were addressed
with
because
Frank Reich and John DeFilippo.
Of his respect for Reich and DeFilippo. Yep. He has too comfortable a relationship with Press Taylor by all accounts. Press doesn't seem to be able to get in his ear and bring him into realization of what's going wrong in his game. The organization doesn't seem to be able to do that or impress it upon him. And maybe Doug is just a pure out-and-out delegator and doesn't get involved in that aspect of Carson's game. I want to partially
real quick, Darrell. Let's have a conversation with this. A couple things on that. One, I don't disagree with you, but here's the thing. It's like a chicken or an egg thing, right? You know, Press Taylor's in the position that he's in because the Eagles put him in that position. Because
agreed.
They elected to go with this, I know, kind of unique route, if you will, where there isn't really an offensive coordinator. And I didn't like the decision at the time, and I sure as heck don't like it now. And I agree with your assessment that it feels like the impression is that there's nobody challenging him enough in those rooms, whether that's Press Taylor or whomever. And I think it's a big problem. You know, from everything I heard, John DeFilippo was not afraid to get in his grill. Frank Reich maybe took a different tact, but wasn't afraid to get his message across to him. And I get a sense now that one of the reasons why we're not seeing improvement here from Carson is based on the fact that these guys are trying. It's almost like the Sixers issue with Brett Brown and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. He's trying to be too much like their buddy, as opposed to trying to be the guy who's going to correct the issues and go forward. You know, they're not always easy conversations, right? But you got to do them. But go ahead.
I agree. No, I couldn't have said that any better. But here's one of the problems, okay, and why I want to ultimately put this back on Carson. One of the things we were told about him was incredibly smart, valedictorian material, really gets it, meaning life and quarterback play between the ears. Well, I question that because if I am Carson and being paid what I'm being paid, then if I quietly, even if I don't want to admit it in film room or whatever, quietly during off seasons, when I look back at my own body of work, which I hope he does.
Yep.
He's got to say, I'm not doing the things fundamentally as a quarterback.
And you know what, Darrell? It's well said, and I'm sorry to cut you off. Happy Thanksgiving, man. I got to run. But I agree with everything you said. But I would lay that more on the whole Press Taylor thing, more on Howie and Doug for taking A, elevating him and taking this direction as opposed to getting in a traditional offensive coordinator. Who was maybe a veteran guy is going to tell him like it is. But all your points are right on. The thing that also concerns me about Carson is, you know, in listening to him after the games, and even during the week this week, talk about, hey, I'm still going to be me, I'm still going to cut it loose, and all those kind of things. And I hear that, and I think to myself, is this what he just feels like he has to say to the media? Or is this the way this guy's really wired? Like, if he doesn't think there's a problem here, and he still thinks, hey, just let it loose is the answer, then you're not really correcting the issues. Then you're either too stubborn in your ways, and there's an arrogance level there, by the way, that's tied to that, or you don't really see it, and there isn't anybody telling you that it's a major issue. Because he's not just played mediocre football, he's played terrible football. And I hear the same thing from him over and over again. And maybe he doesn't know what else to say. And that's very possible. But if he truly thinks that that there isn't an issue, my God, it's scary. Herb in the Northeast. Herb, Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
happy Thanksgiving,
how you
Herb.
Doing? Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks, man. All right, so I talked about this yesterday with that last caller talked about. His footwork, his feet. When you're throwing to the left, you got to move a couple inches or so, okay, to the left. If you're going to the right with a play, when they call a play, it's one receiver that's supposed to get the ball or in a certain area where there could be a zone or whatever, or guy gets in a certain area and the other guy doesn't. But it's you only got two and a half seconds. So the problem that I see, he's holding on to the ball. He's sitting back. Some of these plays are like right over the line of scrimmage that maybe so many inches over the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he's indecisive. There's no question.
Exactly.
He doesn't know what he's looking at. He's seeing ghosts in the pocket. He doesn't know when to climb the pocket, when to escape the pocket.
Right.
When he has his primary wide open, he's hesitating or he's not throwing to him. These are the scariest things. Look, it'd be one thing if it was just, hey, he's a little bit inaccurate. He's a little high, whatever. No, he's not seeing anything. And if you're not seeing the field as a quarterback, you're doomed.
And the last couple years, you've had a lot of linemen getting hurt in and out. Back in 16, 17, it was a lot different. These guys were playing pretty much the whole season, okay? There was a strong line in 16, 17. Plus, he was escaping the pocket. Guys were trying to tackle him. He was getting away from these guys. But then when he went down with that knee injury, that was it. Then the back. Now he's like, I mean, he played 16 games last year. I give him credit for that. He played and showed me that he can last the whole season. That was a big thing off his back, to play 16 games. And then he got hurt in the knockdown, and that was unfortunate. But the way it's a combination of the coaching and the play calling. Peterson and him got to get back on the same page.
Yeah, Herb, I don't disagree, man. And thanks, Herb. Happy Thanksgiving, man. I don't disagree that the play calling hasn't done him any favors. I'm not arguing that point. It certainly has. I think Doug's lost right now. I think he's lost as a coach. I think he's lost as a play caller. I think the offense is stale and doesn't play to the strengths. They clearly can't reach him during the week, and that's on coaching to figure it out if one of your players goes into a funk. All the above, no disagreement. But, let's make no mistake. The ball's being held too long, and that's a large reason why you're getting the amount of sacks that he's getting. The turnovers are at an epic rate, and a lot of those are simply awful decisions by the quarterback. I mean, look, Carson has played horrendous, horrendous football. Now, the supporting staff, if you will, has not done anything to try to get him out of it. In fact, they seem as lost as he is. So there's a lot of problems here. That was my point off the top. But he's got to be better. He's got to be better, plain and simple. All right, continue with your phone calls. We got a couple things on the table. One, who do you have the least amount of faith in to get this thing turned around, Carson, Doug, or Howie? And also, what are you most thankful for? Whether it's, sports aside and sports. Give me something in your life, something in sports that you're thankful for as the sun peaks out on this beautiful Thanksgiving Day. I'm Rob Ellis. WIP Sports Time is 10:24. All right, welcome back in, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. Look, sun's come out. Raining when I was coming in here. Looks like, is this going to hold off? I don't know. But right now it looks good. I'm Rob Ellis and happy to be with you on this Thanksgiving. I'm leading you right into NFL action this afternoon. Now, if you didn't hear the game tonight, unfortunately, that was the best matchup of the day. But the Ravens and the Steelers game has been postponed to, at least as of right now, to Sunday at 1:15 because of the amount of positive tests on the Ravens side of this thing. The Steelers are none too happy about it, but it's the reality of 2020. So that game's off. However, the two early games are still on. Texans-Lions at 12:30, and the pregame coverage begins at 12 right here on WIP. And then a game that we're, you know, going to have a much keener eye on, I think, for a lot of folks in ear, the Washington football team taking on the Cowboys. And both of those teams with three wins right now could vault ahead of the Eagles in terms of wins this season. And I'll tell you, I think both teams, as I mentioned, and the Giants are playing better than the Eagles at this point. All right, back to the phones in 1 second, but I want to play the soundbite for you that occurred yesterday when Doug Peterson was asked about Carson Wentz and the possibility of benching him after his poor play so far this season. Now, you're going to hear the question here. This is from Tim McManus, who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. There's a follow-up in there as well. Here you go. Now, you hear that, right? You hear the hesitation. You hear the answer, not today, on Wednesday. Now, I know a lot of people, when they heard that, the reaction was, look, Doug's a very honest guy. Maybe honest to a fault. He's not always going to give you coach speak. He's not going to give you Andy Reid name, rank, and serial number. I got to do a better job. He's not going to mumble through things like Bill Belichick. And I appreciate that. I genuinely believe he is an honest guy and a pretty straight-up dude when it comes to things. When it comes to answering these questions, which you have to do deftly sometimes as a coach. But I'm not going to excuse this one away as simply Doug doesn't handle the media that well. First of all, he's in his fifth year of doing this. He's got a PR staff that informs him of what's being said on the outside. So Doug knows that that question's coming, you know, in some shape or form. So to me, it's not as simple as, oh, Doug just doesn't handle himself well in front of the podium. I don't buy it. There is truth in that answer. Not today, on Wednesday. Now, he would later, as he was pressed on this again, say, hey, Carson's my starter. We have a lot invested in Carson, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But to me, when I hear that, that tells me this. If this game against Seattle on Monday night looks the way that last week and most of this year has looked, there will be a hook at some point. And I believe it will happen in that game if he continues to look like this. That's just my take. Like, I don't think Jalen Hurts is ready. I don't think they believe Jalen Hurts is ready. But I also think they need to do something to drive the message home to him that this isn't acceptable. That's just my two cents on that answer. And I know we parse and dissect every word out of these guys' mouths. I get it. And sometimes we go overboard with it. But when he says not today, on Wednesday, with that big, long, pregnant pause, that's telling. Let's go to Mike in King of Prussia. Happy Thanksgiving, Mike.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Rob.
Thanks, man.
How you doing?
Good. Very well. Thank you.
Good. So here's my thing. I think that the problem with the Eagles starts and stops with Howie Roseman. This guy has blown every draft since 17. Like, not just blown, but completely whiffed on everything, to the point where legitimately you could have DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson on this team if you just took the players at their spots. Like, that's how bad it is. And instead, we have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Jalen Reagor, who I don't even know what to think of. And this guy is a cancer to this team. He's killed this team by giving out bad contracts to players that can't play anymore. And his ego is seemingly getting in the way because there's no way you can tell me that Doug Peterson wants Jason Peters out there, and it's not because Lori and Roseman are telling him to put him out there.
Yeah, look, I think a lot's coming from above, Mike. I think, for sure, Jason Peters. I think the fact that Alshon Jeffrey's being force-fed out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The fact that Arthega Whiteside's still on the roster. I mean, you could throw that into the stew. No, look, I think all the above, and I think it's a mistake. I drew an analogy the other day when I was on Wednesday, I guess it was. You know, you look at what the Arizona Cardinals did. They realized pretty quickly that Josh Rosen was a mistake, right? And instead of compounding it, their GM in one year dug in and said, you know what, my bad, but I'm not going to make this worse. Let me move the guy. And they got a second rounder instead of a first rounder, but it allowed them and opened things up for them to get Kyler Murray. That, to me, is a great job. The guy recognized a mistake and he moved on from it instead of compounding things, which the Eagles are doing.
See, here's my thing. I can't blame a coach, and I don't want to blame a coach who not only won us the Super Bowl, but he also took a backup quarterback the very next year when our superstar quarterback still wasn't ready to play and took us and we're one play away from the NFC title game. I'm not going to believe that he's forgotten how to coach. I am going to believe that our fraud of a GM has left the cupboard bare with this team from a talent perspective, and that our fraud superstar quarterback doesn't know how to play the game in his fifth year with the same head coach, and he still hasn't gotten the playbook down. I'm going to believe all of that. And Carson Wentz was never a great quarterback. He was a great athlete who's lost the step, and this is where we're at right now.
Yeah, and Mike, thanks. Look, I hear you with these lost the step. And he was never the most accurate guy in the world. But what we saw in 17 compared to this, I mean, that's not a little step back. That's backing up, falling off a cliff, and careening onto the ground. Like, it's not a baby step. It's a long jump into, you know, a fiery pit of awful football. So I don't know how that happens. I don't know how you go from one to the other. Yeah, I mean, if you want to say the back and the knee and you know everything else that's going on with him has taken its toll to an extent, and that half a second of athleticism that he lost, which could get him out of a jam. Yeah, I could buy that. I definitely could buy that. But it shouldn't be to this extreme what's happening, because it's the mental part of it. It's not just the physical part. Like, there are times where there are throws that are there, and he's afraid to pull the trigger, or he doesn't see it. He doesn't recognize it. He doesn't have any peripheral feel for a pass rush, for a guy breathing down his neck. He doesn't have a clock in his head in the pocket. Like, some of that isn't physical. Victor in West Grove. Victor, you're on 94WIP. Happy Thanksgiving, Victor.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good,
happy
man.
Thanksgiving.
Thanks.
You know, this whole thing that you know, Doug's press conference the other day, I think Doug's being pinched in the middle here, because I think the conversation about benching Wentz has already taken place with Howie, and that has been on the table between Doug and Howie for a number of weeks now. But I think that there are contract obligations on Wentz's contract, and Howie keeps insisting, keep him out there. He'll work it through, where now on yesterday's press conference, I think Doug was tippy-toeing around whether or not information possibly could be released on the consideration of Carson being benched. And this is why I think Doug is really being pinched here, I think. And I think that, you know, Doug has tried
well,
to
let,
dummy
hold
down.
On, Victor, specifically. So your thought is Doug would prefer to bench him, but he's getting heat from above not to. Is that what you're driving at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That, yeah.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I just want to make sure we know exactly where you're coming from. Okay. Look.
I think.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. Finish your point. Go ahead.
Oh, so, and I think that, you know, with Doug, you know, Doug and Howie, you know, they, at the beginning of the year, they came up with this, you know, with these picks. And I know, you know, Howie, yes, past 2 years, he has not, you know, picked the A player. He's always, you know, picked the B player. But again, this is the team that's being rolled out. And, you know, the offensive line breaking down, Jason Peters coming back, it's not helping the team develop and move forward. But I really think that here, look, Carson knows the playbook. Carson is a very athletic and intelligent quarterback, but he's getting unwound into the sense of you can't control him anymore. And the team is bleeding losses here. And you got to do something.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I think there's an obligation from Howie's point to meet Carson to a contract. But then Doug's here like, hey, look, I'm trying to put a team
here. Yeah, I'm trying to win football games.
I can't move forward.
Right, and here Doug's thought, look, ultimately Doug is about winning football games, right? But on a personal level, like you can't tell me Doug isn't saying to himself, my God, man, if I don't get better quarterback play, it's going to cost me my job too. So I'm sure to some extent that Doug's thinking like that. The only thing I would say, Victor, and thanks, man, appreciate it. The only follow-up I would have to that is, does Doug really believe down deep that Jalen Hurts is ready? I wonder about that because, you know, every time – if you look at the way that they've handled him this season when he's gotten in, we all know how force-fed that feels, how predictable it is, how just absurd it is on so many different levels. But if you look at how many times they've – in the nine games that he's played in, how many times he's thrown? Twice. Two times. Now, he's completed both for 27 yards, but they've had him throw twice since he's been active, since week two. Does that tell you there's some trust there? It doesn't tell me that. Look, here's the way I view this thing ultimately. If he's playing terrible again in this game against Seattle, the reason you sit him is to try to trigger something in him that you haven't triggered yet. You're trying to trip that thing where he says to himself, oh my God, what am I doing here? I can't keep throwing these interceptions. I got to get rid of the ball quicker. Like it's a wake-up call. And I don't know why it would take till now to have that wake-up call. I can't tell you that, what the psychology is. But that's why I would do it. Like I don't think by putting Jalen Hurts in, he's going to light the world on fire suddenly. Because I'm of the belief that he's not ready either. But to me, that's why you would do it. And it sounds like Doug is getting to that point now as well with that answer that he just gave you. 215-592-9494. What are you grateful for? And who do you have the least amount of faith in with the three principles here? Howie, Doug, Carson. I'm Rob Ellis. WFP Sports Time is 1042. All right, 1047, welcome back in. Everybody, Rob Ellis with you on this Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, one and all. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow. I'll be in for the afternoon, guys. So I'll be 2 to 6 with you tomorrow. Sunday, or tomorrow's Friday. Saturday, I'll be with you 3 to 6. Sunday, 1 to 4, and then Monday on the postgame show with Dan Klecko. But let me just say, for me as well, I told you earlier, you know, if there's two things that I'm thankful for, one is my family. Two is the fact that we have sports. I'll tell you what the other thing is. You guys. If it wasn't for our listeners and our callers and our followers, we wouldn't be able to do this. So I'm thankful every time I crack the mic for you guys as well, just so you know. And my man, Anthony Foley, doing all the dirty work.
I appreciate that.
You got it, Ant. Always good to see you. Let's go to Ja'Cory in Florida. Ja'Cory, happy Thanksgiving, man.
What's going on, Robbie? What's going on, Robbie?
Hey, brother, how are you, man? Good to hear from you.
Good, man. Good. Yeah, I'm going to get this out of the way. What I'm most thankful for, you know, just got it waking me up every morning, every day, family. You know, just to give me, you know, happiness and everything.
Well said. Yep, waking sports, up, man. Waking up. That's a big one.
Yeah, sports, you know, just, you know, in these times right now with the COVID stuff, just luckily just turn on the, you know, have sports back. But going with this Eagles thing, most of the blame I think is going to have to be Howie with this roster, you know. Just bring up their old veterans, like Jason Peters. You know, I'm not gonna say he has produced a little bit, but guys like Vinny Curry, you know, bringing guys that's not good like back like put him in different positions like Jalen Mills, you know. I just don't like that, you know. I had to start the day, you know, when I was brushing my teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather, you know, play the young guys, the rookies, and lose. I can take that. I'd rather, you know, that's a learning curve just with the young guys. I'd rather lose with the young guys, the rookies,
right,
than rather lose with overpaid or well-paid veterans, you know?
Look, Jacory, I agree with you. Here's the thing. Like, what are we learning here with Jason Peters being rolled out every week? I'd rather get Mile out of the experience, right? Same goes for, like, why do I need to see Alshon Jeffrey force fed
right.
a ball? I don't need
right.
it. Like, the argument with Wentz is completely different. Like, if you're benching a quarterback, that's a big deal. But sitting Jason Peters down and deactivating Alshon Jeffrey and letting him collect a check for the rest of the year, who cares? Like go right ahead. You're stuck with them. That's fine. Pay them, but I don't need to see them on the field. Hello?
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
You know, I think that too. I think I want to see more of Greater. You know, I know. Another thing too is we have to create a way for Travis Holcomb. Doug doesn't do that. You know, it's been 7 weeks since he's been on the roster. I think teams are watching something like, what they're doing, you know, there's the 1-3-step
mm-hmm.
jump ball thing, you know, in the goal line.
Yeah.
Have him go deep. You know, he just had a touchdown last week, you know. But going with this one thing, I think just ride it out with him for this season. I think we'll get a young offensive mind like Joe Brady or somebody like that, like Graham Heron,
mm-hmm.
in here to be the OC call plays. And change his offense around.
I don't know, Jacory, I agree with you. I don't know why that didn't happen this offseason. I don't know why the decision was made to not have an offensive coordinator to do this by committee thing. I didn't like it then. I loathe it now. I hear you. I agree with you. But it's like every year we're shuffling parts here on the offensive side.
And one more thing, Robbie E., do you watch college football?
I do.
Okay, I got a question for you. Okay, since we have like a top five pick around the third, fourth, fifth pick, and we're in a bind right now. And Jamar Chase and Patrick Surtain II from Alabama is on the board. Who do you take? I'm taking Jamar Chase.
I like Chase better. Nothing against Surtain. I like Chase
yeah.
better. I like Chase better. 100%. Yeah, he's a beast. He's been a beast. And you watched him play last year the way he's – I love him.
Right. Even though we need a corner, it's just – take the guy best available.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah, you do need a corner, Jacory. I agree with you. But you also need a safety. You need linebacking help. There isn't anything that you don't need help at on that side. You need a lot of help on the offensive side at the offensive line position. You know, there's just – I agree with you.
Roll with the young guys.
Yeah, I'm
with
you.
Roll with the young guys.
Jacory,
and Brandon Brooks.
Yeah.
And since Brandon Brooks has been out, you know, we're 0-6 when he doesn't play. That's crazy, isn't it? And he's a glue. He's the best offensive lineman on our team. He's the glue of the offensive
line.
He's
a stud. Yeah, listen, Jacory, thanks, man. He is. It's a shame. You know, it's a shame what's happened to that guy with the injuries and serious injuries, too, over the last few years. If I'm the Eagles, and I know the kind of character guy he is, and he'll do everything he can to get back on the field this year because that's just who he is. It's the way he's wired. But if I'm the Eagles, I'm telling him, listen, man, you're done for the year. We don't want you to rush. We want to make sure you're fully healed. We want to make sure that you're not just trying to overcompensate for that Achilles and you do something else to another, you know, the other leg or whatever. I don't want him rushing back is my point, especially the way this year's gone. Let's go to Eric in Lumberton. What's happening, Eric?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Man. Thank you, sir.
So let's start off with the good stuff, which is what we're thankful for, because the rest of it's going to be going downhill. Personally, I'm thankful that, A, my family's all healthy.
Yep.
My wife and I both work remotely from home. And my oldest, who still lives with us, they furloughed her for 6 months at full pay. So grateful
yeah,
for that.
That's a break, for sure. Yep.
And on sports, you know, I am grateful for sports for two things. Number one is there haven't been an awful lot of COVID within sports. There have been some stupid-ass things like, what's going on with the Ravens this week. But by and large, that's been limited. And the other thing is, honestly, with COVID, we're not doing anything from day to day. You know, going and getting groceries is the highlight of my freaking week. You know, so
yeah.
having been able to watch some sports,
yeah.
it,
That's why I brought really it nice. Up. Eric, not only because we're so limited now, but also just the period of time when we didn't have it, it was brutal, quite frankly. It was.
All right, now let's talk Eagles. So first off, Rob, I think you'll agree with me that if we could, during the course of our conversation, figure out exactly what was wrong with the Eagles, someone within the NovaCare complex would have figured that out by now. Because it's obviously more complex than one or two things. But I want to first go back to the thing you were talking about a while ago, which was about Carson, what Carson said at the press conference,
mm-hmm.
About, you know, I'm not going to change who I am.
Still going to let it rip, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He has to say that. Whether or not he believes it or not, he has to say it, because it's just like how you never take, if you're the president, you never take any of your weapons off there. I would never do that. Because if you would never do that, then that's one less thing that the opposition has to worry about. If Carson says, no, I'm going to be more careful now when your defensive coordinators, you know, game out against the Eagles, that's one less thing they have to be worried about. If he says, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to play hero ball anymore. Even if he actually isn't, he can't say that.
Yeah, I hear you, Eric. And again, you know, I'm sure there to some degree, right? I'm sure to some degree he doesn't know what to say at this point, right? So I'm not like killing him for every word, but I do wonder, because I keep seeing the same actions, if he's mm-hmm. not believing those words, right? It's one thing for him to sit up there and say, "Hey, I'm still going to stay aggressive, man. I'm still going to be me," you know, all that. That's fine, but. You know, it's another thing to watch his actions. And I know there was the one game, the Giants game, where he didn't turn it over or whatever, and we were throwing a parade for him. But still, I mean, we're still seeing the same mistakes here.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing. The Eagles aren't losing games badly enough. The fact is, one of the reasons why they haven't set Carson down is because if you're only down two scores, that's something that among our quarterbacks, our quarterback roster, the person who's most likely to get you the win at the end of the game is Carson. You know, it would be great if we were down, you know, 18 in the middle of the fourth, because then you would sit Carson, because it doesn't matter who you have behind center. But anyhow, among the roster, among the list of horribles we have, if I had to rank them, probably Doug first. All right. A, he should have had the OC, which we've talked about multiple times this morning. And the other thing is the play calling. The fact is, if you think back the last six games, for example, and you think about all the interesting trick plays, the laterals and the unexpected stuff that other teams have run against us, how many have we run?
None.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's tired. It's stale. He still doesn't get him out of the pocket. There's no jet sweeps. You don't utilize Jalen Reagor to the things that he did particularly mm-hmm. well in college. It's across the board. It's horrendous. Let me tell you something, Eric. He may not be as lost as Carson, but he isn't that far off in the way he's calling games.
What did he say during the press conference? He said, "Yeah, maybe I should have done that more."
Yeah, he gives you that. Maybe I should have dialed a few more of those up. BS. But he is completely, Eric. Thanks. Happy Thanksgiving. He's completely lost as well. 215-592-9494. Quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll continue with your phone calls. What you're thankful for, sports and beyond, and also if you're looking at Howie and Doug and Carson, and you're looking at your faith level for those three, who do you have the least amount of faith in? I'm Rob Ellis. WIP Sports Time is 10:58. O'clock hour. Got another hour of the program here. We'll take you up till 12 o'clock, leading you right into the pregame for the Texans and the Lions. I am Rob Ellis. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Beautiful day out. We got some warm weather. Rain's gone away. Should be a day we can all hopefully just relax, enjoy. It's different. It could be really different for you. I understand. I get it. But I'm trying to stay positive and think that this time next year, we will have a Thanksgiving without any kind of restriction. So let's make the most of what we have for sure. So one of the things we're doing is we're talking about what we're thankful for in sports and what we're thankful for in life. We're also discussing the Eagles. But, you know, a big part of today is eating, right, is the meal. And people look forward to Thanksgiving with the food, you know, component of it for months and months and months. I'm not one of those people. Like the Thanksgiving turkey to me, I'll eat it on Thanksgiving. I'll eat it, you know, on the other rare occasions that I have it, maybe two times a year. It's okay. It doesn't really move the needle for me. I'll certainly eat it. I'm not opposed to it. It's eh to me. So I'm good. But I do like, I was talking to Anthony about this. We're both of similar palates here, picky palates. I like the sides better than I do the actual turkey part of it. You know, the whether it's the mashed potatoes, the veggies, whatever. You know, the stuffing. I'm not a cranberry, I don't want any parts of cranberry sauce. But for the most part, I'm more of the side than I am the main course. Which is good because it just leaves more for everybody else. But I wonder if anybody's doing it sort of in a non-traditional way, because God knows if you're going to do it non-traditional, it would be this year. Let me know. Whether it's the meal itself, how you're doing it, if you're doing a virtual Thanksgiving, you know, whatever the course may be. I'm having a small amount of people at my house. Six people total. And that's it. You know, immediate family, but that's it. So we're going kind of the low-key course. I generally go low-key anyway, but especially this year, it's definitely a low-key kind of year. So I'll enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to the football. I'm also looking forward to the college hoops. Yeah, Nova last night beat BC, and it was a really good game. BC played well. You know, it's going to take, I think, teams, and particularly the good teams, and Nova comes in ranked number three preseason, some time, because they missed a lot of practice. But Nova plays Arizona State today. You got LaSalle St. John's, Auburn St. Joe's. That's just the local games, but I'm glad to have college hoops back as well. So I'll be mixing that in along with the football fun. Let's go to Matt in Mayfair. Matt, happy Thanksgiving, man.
Rob, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Thank How you sir. Doing today, man?
Appreciate it. Good.
All right, Rob. So you know how I hold you in high regard and knowledge, especially with baseball. I think you're one of the top 100 baseball minds that
See,
I know.
Top 100. See, I thought I was like top 250-ish.
Somewhere well, you know, McPhail and Klentak, they're kind of, they took you out.
Oh, man. Andy McPhail does it to me again.
Anyway, Rob. So what I'm thankful for real quick, and by the way, good shout out to Nova. It was a good game last night. And,
yeah.
It's great to see you back. So. All right, Rob. What I'm thankful for, obviously, is that 2020 is coming to a merciful end. It's been a rough year for everybody, me included. So the fact that I'm still here to be able to talk to you, I'm just happy this year is ending.
Matt, I'm with you. I'm not putting any roadblocks up for this year to end. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Trust me.
And sports, Rob, you know, I've I'm happy that professional sports came back, but I'm going to take this thing a different angle with sports. I'm thankful for the youth coaches of America. They've had to kind of keep this thing together with our young people, keep them engaged, keep them active. And, you know, the student athlete has suffered a lot this year. A whole group of seniors came by with not having to be able to finish their senior year sports. And these youth coaches, who a majority of them are volunteers, I'm among them, have had to really work hard to keep things together for these kids.
Yeah. Listen, Matt, kudos, man. I agree with you. I know just for my kids. My son was a senior last year. Right?
Right.
He's a freshman now in college. And in both portions, you know, the back end of his senior year, the front part of his freshman year, it's been brutal. My daughter, you know, she lost her lacrosse season last year. She had a very abbreviated soccer season. I get it, man. And the coaches have done an unbelievable job with you know, some real challenges with protocol. I also give props to a lot of the youth coaches and commissioners who on the fly had to sort of reconvene you know, their leagues and do things differently because certain leagues were shut down, and it has not been easy, man. You guys have done an awesome job.
Yeah, it hasn't, Rob. And my Eagles point real quick, Rob, I have a question. I'm going to throw something back at you like I typically do. If we take 2017 out of play, it never happened. And then here we are in 2020 with 16, 18, 19, and 20 as the canvas. Or is Doug, Howie, and Carson, one, are they all still here at this point? Or how much worse would it be to try to fire? So, I mean,
to answer your question, Matt, and thanks, man. Happy Thanksgiving. There's definitely not the sentimental ties. You know, I think the biggest challenge that Jeffrey Lurie is going to have this offseason, when he sits down and evaluates, and obviously he's evaluating on the fly as well, but I'm talking about when the dust settles and he's looking back at everything that went down and sort of doing some inventory. The toughest thing for him, in my opinion, is going to be the sentimental tie that he has to Howie Roseman. The fact that he sent him, away. I mean, he was still with the organization, but changed his role under Chip Kelly, and I think he had a lot of regrets about that. And he may have to do the same thing here. And I don't think that's going to be easy. Doug Peterson won him his only Super Bowl. This organization's only Super Bowl. That's a lot. Like, that's a big deal. And it was, in some ways it was like yesterday. In other ways, when you're talking about professional sports, what have you done for me lately? So it's a long time ago in some respects. So I do think it's going to be hard. But that's what this is all about. You have to divorce yourself sometimes of the sentimentality and just look at the reality. I don't know if I could just exclude 17, but if I'm doing that, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team that in now three straight years, meaning 18, 19, and now 20, the team's regressed. You had to win out 2 years and get help in a bad division to get into the postseason. And now this year, you may get in, although I don't think they're going to get in. You may get in, but you may get in at six wins. So ultimately, what is that? So these are the things that Jeffrey Lurie is really going to have to decide on. And if you do the sentimentality thing where everybody stays in place, then you tell me what the plan is to fix it. Don't give me the definition of insanity where you're doing the same thing and expecting different results. What are you doing with those three guys, or two guys in particular, Doug and Howie, that's going to change it up? Let's go to Tom in Westchester. Tom, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, Robbie. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Tom. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Thanks. And thanks for always being the go-to guy there and bouncing around and filling in for everybody.
Thanks.
I'm sure Spike appreciates that.
Yes.
For sure. A little bit ago, you mentioned something about Carson, that it's the mental side. My take is that when you look at the HDC thing, Doug and Howie are the same guys. They haven't changed. They're doing the same things that they've always done, which has made them successful to a large degree, right?
Yeah.
Carson's different. He's the one that's different. And I think, I don't think it's that far-fetched either, that head injury that he sustained is playing on the mental part of his game.
In other words, fear of getting hit?
No, I think the concussion has had potentially some ramifications on his. I mean, the brain does funny things, right?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's crazy, Tom. I mean, I don't think we fully know the extent of what concussions and head injuries can do, what the long-term effect is, what the short-term effect is, the psychology going forward. I don't discount that. I don't know.
It's just, how can you go from, we look at, you ever talked about 2017 and what a great player he was, and he was. To now, it's like he's, physically, yeah, he's a little bit different because he's been injured, his legs have been injured. But the mental side is what is so perplexing. And, I think that concussion has hurt the guy and his ability to think on the field and act on the field and, perform. So
it could be. I mean, the thing is, when he was playing in 18 and 19, and granted, 18 was cut short, it was like flashes, right? He was inconsistent. There were flashes of greatness and flashes of mediocrity. This year there has been no flash. It's just been straight bad. And that's, post-concussion, right? And maybe it's not the back. Maybe it's not the knee. Maybe it is the head. I don't know. But I don't know what the answer is to how it has gotten this bad this quickly, and it's awful. Yes. It is awful.
No, I know it is. I know it is. And it's, it's a shame. We're trying to endure the season here, but, I it's hope the Eagles get the guy checked out again, and I'm sure they are, but mm-hmm. It's just so drastic that it's borderline crazy, to go from the top of the heap to the bottom of the heap like he has. I don't think we've ever seen that before necessarily, not here in Philadelphia necessarily.
Well, yeah, I don't know. In your second season, to have the sort of mastery that he had, granted he wasn't perfect, but he was playing at such a high level, to go from that where you're still pretty inexperienced to now having been in your fifth year, having seen it all and all that, for to not be able to recognize coverages, to not be able to pull the trigger when a guy is actually open, or to try and force it in and make the decisions, the poor decisions that he's making. I mean, these are extremes that we're seeing from him.
I know. So that's my take anyway. Yep. Thankful that sports are back for sure. Mm-hmm. And keep doing what you're doing, Robbie.
Tom,
we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Happy Thanksgiving. Appreciate it. Leon checks in from Dallas. What's happening, Leon? Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, how's it going, Rob? You too, man. You know, I love speaking with you.
Appreciate
so
it, man. Good to hear from
to you.
Yeah, always good.
Yes, great. I just want to say this. You know, I'm just so used to hearing you and the other Rob that isn't here with us anymore, Cherry. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say God bless his heart wherever he is.
Rob's the best, man. He's enjoying retirement. I talked to him not all that long ago. Rob's doing great.
Great. Yep. You know, I don't know. Like, I was just so used to hearing you and him over these, you know, over the holidays. And I just know he would do a great end of the year production.
He really did. They were awesome. Yes, I concur. I agree with you.
Exactly. So, yeah, I actually wanted to talk hoops, but since everybody's talking birds, I'm going to just split my time real quick.
We could do hoops, man. We could do whatever you want.
Well, I'm going to just do both. Just super quick. So we're going to talk about the birds. Carson Wentz, look, I've said this plenty of times before. You know, this guy should be taken out of handcuffs, Rob, because he's stealing money at this point. All right? There's just no excuse. His awareness is completely shot, right?
Yeah.
The moment when he took that hit against the Dallas Cowboys, I believe it was their corner Diggs, when he came flying out the back, he's, you know, smacking, you know, like, the moment he took that hit, Rob, I was like, there's just no way that this guy is the same player, because he can't even recognize the smaller things. And from the safety on Sunday, like, it's no way in hell you just want to sit there when you see Jason Peters.
Yeah, you know you're in the end zone. Like, you know where you are yardage-wise, and you know that's got to get out quick. And he's just, I don't know, man. Something happens.
He's a statue. And, like, like I said, his awareness, he just doesn't see anything, and it's just too late. About time, you know, sees it. But yeah, off the birds, because like I said, listen, Rob, I could go on for hours about that. But I really just want to talk a little bit of hoops. You know, you were knocking Dwight Howard earlier. Listen, I hear you, right? He hasn't probably been the best teammate. But to another guy that was stealing money last year, freaking Al Horford, right? We paid this guy $25 million to come halfway off the bench at the end of the year. And I don't even know what the hell he averaged for. It's like 11 points or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, at least Dwight Howard's the guy who averaged, you know, a double-double for almost his entire career. And I think he could be really helpful for us. Now, I did see a projected lineup on Instagram. I don't know if it's confirmed, but they had Dwight Howard playing the forward, the power forward, and Joel Embiid playing the center. So I just thought it was interesting that we potentially had 2 7-foot, you know, big men on the court at once. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I just wanted to hear your opinion. But
well, no, listen. Okay, Leon, you got it, man. Happy Thanksgiving,
buddy. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Always good chatting with you, man. Appreciate it. No, I mean, look, my point of the Dwight Howard thing was, yeah, I couldn't stand the guy for years. But I look at what he did last year, where he accepted his role. He knew what he was. He was going to be coming off the bench. He was there to play defense. He was there to rebound. It wasn't all about him. And I thought really, you know, accepted it and flourished in that role. And in listening to him yesterday, he understands that's exactly what's needed here. And I think he's reached that point in his career where he understands that's who he is. And that's great. Like, to me, that can be very valuable. So I'm actually excited. You got him for nothing. You got him on a one-year deal. He's telling you he wants to be here to mentor and motivate Joel Embiid. I think it's a great fit. Embiid, what, you know, basically recruited him to the Sixers. So Embiid's excited about it. He's excited to be here. He's not costing you anything. If it starts to go sideways with him, if we see the same old issues crop up, then you just get rid of him. And it's not crushing your cap or anything like that. So no, my point is, I think you're getting him at the perfect time. because he still helps you on the court, certainly. When Embiid goes to the bench, you know, from a defensive standpoint. And then, you know, off the court, on the practice floor, whatever. Always been a guy who's been well-conditioned, but also can just bring, you know, that mental standpoint to Joel Embiid. I think it's great. And as, like I said earlier, I never thought I'd be saying that. Barry in Bethlehem. Barry, you're on 94.
Hi.
Hi, Barry.
You?
Good.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, man. Thank you.
I wanted to say off the start, I guess I'm I'd like to say thank you to my family and friends, and thank you for that this pandemic has fortunately not impacted me financially as it has most other people in the world, and I'm thankful for that.
Good, I hear you.
So anyway, I wanted to get on to the Eagles, and I just wanted to say I think across the board of the Eagles organization and even the fans, there needs to be a level set of expectations. I don't believe that there's any hope in achieving even if we do win the division, I doubt that. But if we do win the division, who are you going to beat after this? I think Seth Joyner said this the other day. I was listening to him. Who are you going to beat after that? The trajectory of the Eagles at this point is on a downward slope, right? Comparatively speaking, even within the division. So what are you level setting to at this point? You know, Doug said in his interview, we still have a lot to play for. What is it that you're trying to achieve? I think he needs to be held accountable for that statement.
Well, Barry, listen, you and I can feel the way that we feel, but Doug's got to look at it like, and again, do I think this is going to happen? No, but Doug's got to look at it like, hey, you know, one game can get this whole thing turned around, and all of a sudden we start playing good football, and we're rolling into the playoffs. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's the way he's got to think as a coach.
Okay, but is there any indicators that give you that?
No,
that
there's not. Listen, Barry, I agree with you. I'm just telling you that's the way he's got to approach this. Because
sure, okay.
Technically right now he's sitting there in first place, as bogus as it is, and we all know what a joke it is, but he's sitting there in first place, and he's got a team to coach. He can't step up to the podium and say, guess what? I'm with you guys, man. This thing's over. Like, he can't that.
Well, but I guess my level set is that, you know, being that as it may, if he really is truthful to himself, you know, why is the narrative just the choices between Wentz and Hurts? I mean, Sudfeld's in there too, and he has a lot of time with this offense. So he's not going to be limited in terms of his play calling with Sudfeld. So,
well, he may
ball?
Not be limited in that sense, but he's limited in ability. Now, we don't know what Hurts is. I think we kind of have an idea when the guys made a third stringer in last year for a 40-year-old Josh McCown. It tells you they don't have a ton of faith in the guy.
Yeah, true.
You know,
true. But I mean, we've seen him play. On preseason games, and he seemed to take the offense and he ran with it. So.
Yeah, I guess look, if you're going to give it either one of those two time, it's got to be Hurts. I mean, Sudfeld is a career backup at best, borderline NFL player. It Hurts, they drafted in the second round. They have a lot more invested in him.
Right. Well, one other point I wanted to make about Doug is that, you know, maybe he bit off too much that he could chew. I mean, he was an offensive coordinator under Reed, but, you know, being a head coach and an offensive coordinator, or taking that role at least, maybe that's a little too much for him.
Well, I think, you know, and Barry, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving, man. I think he's also a guy who needs a strong support staff. You know, clearly Frank Reich was a guy who was good for him, who knew what he was doing. You know, I throw DeFilippo into that same mix, too, although DeFilippo hasn't had a whole lot of success since he left Philadelphia. But I think the combination of those three were good for each other and were really good for Carson Wentz. And for whatever reason, whether it's Mike Groh, whether it's Carson Walsh, who was the receivers coach, whether it's this setup that they have right now, you know, something's off. You know, maybe we can't sit here and put our finger on exactly what it is, whether it's Doug missing Frank Reich, whether it's Carson Wentz regression, whatever. you know, right now there's something that is just amiss in a big, big way. And there's no two ways about it. So, and they haven't been able to figure it out now through 10 weeks, which is troubling. Like, if this was the first 2 weeks, you'd say, hey, they had hardly any practice. It's been a weird off season, understandable, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's not this. You know, the Eagles, if anything, had a bigger advantage than any team in their own division because they have the same coach and quarterback combo. Not one other team can say that. And all three of those teams right now are playing better football than the Eagles are after 10 weeks. I mean, what does that tell you? That tells you how lost this thing is. 215-592-9494. We'll continue with what you're thankful for on a sports level and beyond, and also in terms of a faith level with Carson, with Doug, with Howie. Which of those three have you lost the most faith in? I'm Rob Ellis. WIP Sports Time is 11:26. 11:30, welcome back in, everybody. Rob Ellis with you on this Thanksgiving. I'm thankful to be with you. How about that? Always thankful. But, yeah, certainly a lot in store today sports-wise. We have two football games, unfortunately not three. Both games will be carried right here on WIP. First one being the Texans and the Lions. The coverage starts at noon, and then Washington and Dallas at 4:30 from Dallas. Of course, that game, you know, you'd be paying attention to it no matter what. I think everybody has the TV on throughout the day. You may not be just completely locked in on it, but it's certainly at least background noise or the radio on in our case. But you'll be paying more attention to that because it's the Cowboys and Washington. And, you know, you look at the division right now, it's ugly. It's certainly not pretty, the way the standing's set up, but one of those two teams likely will have more wins, unless there's a tie, than the Eagles at the end of the day today. Eagles 3-6-1, and then the rest of the teams in the division are 3-7 entering play today. Of course, from an Eagles standpoint, they play Monday night against Seattle, 5-point underdogs right now. And then after Seattle, and first of all, that's going to be a very difficult game. You got to put up some serious points against that team because Seattle scores, even though their defense is bad. You're at Green Bay, then New Orleans home, Arizona out there December 20th, at Dallas, and then Washington. It is not an easy schedule. We thought the last two games were going to be gimmies until the Eagles lost to Washington earlier in the year and they lost to the Giants. So nothing a gimme at this point. Let's go to Tom in Abington. Happy Thanksgiving, Tom.
Yo, Robbie. Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
How you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. So as far as being thankful, I guess I'm, well, first off, obviously, I'm like you. I'm a family man. So you said it perfectly. The wife and kids, that's what keeps you going through this, right?
For sure.
So that's first and foremost. I'm also thankful that I've been able to work. And, God, I haven't had this much work in forever.
That's good. Yeah, that's really good.
Well, yeah. So, I'm a nurse. So I've been just busy.
Yeah, you're doing front line with stuff, my man. We appreciate
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I've seen things I can't unsee, Rob. So everybody listening, you know, a front line worker out there, doctor, nurse, EMT, cop, whatever the case may be, just give them a big thanks because they've been through it and they're about to go through it again. Man.
Well said. Well said. Amen. Thank you for your service, man. Appreciate
it. Yeah. So, at the end, I got a cuisine take for you for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But,
right.
So Carson Wentz, I mean, I keep hearing people call up and I mean, it's obvious he's terrible. Right? You know, I have eyes, so I'm a big supporter. But, of course, I recognize that his play is just all over the place. But for people to say that they have no idea why is perplexing to me. So, Rob. Can you name for me one other, quote, franchise quarterback, end quote, in this league that is going up against the three main obstacles I'm about to bring up? No offensive line, no receivers, at least not number one, number two receivers, and boneheaded play calling. Is there any other guy out there that's up against all three?
Look, Tom, there's no question about it that they have not put the pieces around him that they needed to. Whether that was gambling on older players like Deshaun or Alshon or Jason Peters for the millionth time, or just poor drafting, they have not surrounded him with good players, and they've done nothing to try to help him in terms of play calling with getting me out of the pocket. That is the most mind-boggling thing of any of this, maybe. So I agree with you. It's like anything else, right? It's not as simple as just saying it's Carson or it's Doug or it's this or that. And when you epically fail like this, and they really, you can make a case they shouldn't even have a win this year. When you fail that badly, it generally takes a village. And right now we're seeing a village of failure with the Eagles.
Absolutely. And I'm not even for firing anybody at the end of the year. I would just like some restructuring. I would like to see a guy in here to make draft picks for Howie. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see an OC in here.
I think we're on the same page. I think it's I don't know if Jeffrey Lurie is going to do this, but you could absolutely, there should be a scenario where Howie's still here, but someone else is deciding on college and pro personnel. There should be a scenario where there's a strong-willed, unafraid offensive coordinator to say what he's got to say, not only to Doug, but to Carson. Like that to me is a way you can fix this thing without absolute detonation.
Right. So I'm indebted to all these guys for the Super Bowl, and I always will be. But if I'm seeing this, you're seeing this, like Jeffrey Lurie has got to see this. And fine, you don't want to blow it up. I know they're your buddies. You want to keep them. It's nostalgia. That's great. But you got to get them help. I mean, how many more years is he going to watch this before he does something? Is he just going to let it get so bad that he just cans the whole operation?
Right, and that's where I'm with you, Tom. This is where these are hard decisions. These are people that mean a lot to you, and it's a hard thing. But guess what? If you're the boss of a multi-billion-dollar corporation that the city rides and dies with, then you got to be able to make those hard decisions, plain and simple.
That's right. That's right. And I hope he has the fortitude to do it.
Give me your food take.
Stuffing sucks. It is so overrated, Rob. I mean, it's soggy bread. I don't like soggy bread with anything. Why would I like it with my turkey?
Okay.
There is one exception. If you put sausage in it, then I can handle it because then there's some substance to it. But soggy bread, I just never understood it.
Anti-stuffing. Tom, good stuff, man. Thank
you. Take care, Rob.
I appreciate it. How about that? Tom coming strong on the stuffing. And you're a stuffing guy.
Yeah, it's like one of the only things I enjoy on Thanksgiving.
Now, I don't think you and Tom would have to be at separate tables, I think.
I'll take his extras.
I got you. Let's go to Bob in Wilmington. Bob, happy Thanksgiving.
Hello, Robert. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Good to hear from you, as always.
Well, I haven't called you since I made that brilliant prediction that the Eagles were going to blow out the Giants. So I have to say mea culpa that.
I don't think any of us have been real good on calling Eagles games this year, so don't beat yourself up.
That cost me a few hundred. What I'm really most thankful for is my 101-year-old mom, who attended the 48 championship game. With my dad, and she can tell you the greatest Eagle of all is Steve Van Buren, questions asked.
That's awesome.
She's still a fan.
Good for her.
She listens to him and she loves him. Good. So I'm very thankful.
Glad you still have her. That's awesome.
Tom really kind of stole my thunder a little bit. My gripe is with Lurie. I'm a great believer that it starts at the top. And I'm just wondering, you know, this thing with Jason Peters and him as best friend and stuff like that and playing Carson. And I'm just wondering if Lurie's saying, I'm paying him, you're playing him. Is there anything to that?
Is something to it. I think there's something to that. I think there's something to the Alshon Jeffrey along the same lines. We're paying this guy a lot of money. We figured a way to get him in there, and I think it's an absolute mistake. I mean, look, it's over. Like Carson, you're still holding out hope that he's going to be the quarterback of the future for you. Neither one of these guys are the future. In fact, they're both gone at the end of this season. You know, you've already made the mistake with the contracts. Pay them, but don't force feed them out there and make it worse. Don't double down on this bad mistake.
I mean, the ultimate goal is to win the Super Bowl, and it is so obvious that's not happening this year. I mean, you gotta look forward. I mean, it's inconceivable to me that you – Hightower's not Pro Bowl material. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But you got to find out if these guys can play.
Right.
And these guys – I mean, and Malata has looked good. He has – not great, but why would you – take away his playing time for a guy that, first of all, is way past his prime, and Well, I'm reiterating, I agree.
Get them reps, Bob, so we can know what they are, number one, okay? Number two, I don't think Mailata could play much worse than what Jason Peters did on Sunday.
Agreed.
It was as bad a performance as you're going to see.
And it's embarrassing for the guy, you know? I mean, he's played so well for so many years, but they, you know, I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure that Doug is on board with all of these moves, but there's not much he can do about it.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. I think he's – it's unfortunate that that's the way this is going and this is the way it's playing out, but that's the setup that they have. You know, he doesn't have the same kind of power and autonomy that some other head coaches have. He just, despite the fact that he won a Super Bowl, he doesn't.
I am a candied yams man, just FYI, okay?
Okay, I got you, Bob. Thanks, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, have a great day, Bob.
All right, you too. Let's go to Mitch in East Windsor. Mitch, happy Thanksgiving, man.
Good morning, Rob. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you, Mitch. What's happening?
Hey, I'm grateful for sports, especially Talk Radio. You're one of the best.
Thanks.
See, Rob, I see they're giving you a lot of work. Some of it inconvenient, but I know you do it with a smile.
I'm always happy to be here, man. Appreciate it, Mitch.
I'm grateful I got a job too much. I've had a good run, 32 years. Come early in January, I've got a new right hip, bone on bone.
Oh, man.
The way it goes, life could be a lot worse.
Yeah, in the long run, you're going to be way better off. I hear you. But, yeah, I'm sure it's tough right now for sure. But hang in there.
I just keep thinking about it.
Yep.
I know Tom Petty, but there had to be more to it than just a hip surgery. You know, remember the great Tom Petty?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think there was a little more going on there with Tom. Yep.
Yeah. And I don't know what to call before, two calls before. Thank you for your service. I cannot believe all the work I'm getting. It's just too much. I'm gonna miss most of my workers, my customers.
What do you do? What do you do, Mitch?
I work for FedEx.
Okay.
30 years. I bring dog bones to my rug. I live my route. I go home. That's what saved me.
I have an awesome mailman who carries around treats for the dogs. Man, the guy's the best. I love my guy. Shout out to my guy. But anyway, go ahead.
Only one time I got bit, and that was by a little Jack Russell.
Okay.
You can't run a dog, big or small, so.
It's not a bad track record for 32 years. You only got bit once, man.
Well, actually, 15 years on this route.
Okay.
Before I was in the Whoopish Bowl.
Okay.
I tell you, why can't they flex these games? You got four teams that have 11 victories altogether. It's terrible. How many people would rather see the Chiefs and the Buccaneers? You've seen two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Yeah, I'm putting Pat Mahomes in the Hall of Fame already.
Yeah, I hear. The flexibility comes on Sunday nights, you know, and we're going to start seeing it a lot more, you know, for sure. But it's also complicated, Mitch, with COVID. You know, I mean, they're talking about trying to move the Ravens Steelers game to Sunday at 1:15. They may not even be able to play that game, and the Steelers have already had to use up their bye week early in the season because of the Titans positive test. So it you know, everything's just kind of a mess, and everything's very fluid this year with the circumstances we're under.
I can't believe how the Eagles are going to play all those good. I'm beginning to like these Oklahoma quarterbacks. They play Baker Mayfield. You got Murray up there. I'd love to see what Jalen Hurts has got. I mean, they're going against a Hall of Fame quarterback, but the defense is weak. I think the Seattle division, I think the Rams are the best best balanced team in the NFC conference. Would it be something if they won the Super Bowl in a lousy, one of the worst years in history in this country? They all the LA teams win it in their respective sports.
Yeah.
It's a possibility, right?
I think the NFC and thanks, Mitch. Happy Thanksgiving. I think the NFC is very much up in the air. You know, you're watching New Orleans. New Orleans is 8-2 at this point. They've won 7 in a row. You know, but Breeze is out. Taysom Hill played well last week. We'll see if that can continue. I don't know what to make of Tampa at this point. You know, I've seen them play some really awful games, and I've seen them look really good. The Rams are a good team. The Rams are a balanced team. They're very good defensively. I think they're underrated defensively. Seattle's going to put points up, but they don't stop anybody. You know, Green Bay, too, they've had these sort of goofy games at times where they're hard to figure out. But at times, they can look really good, too. I think the NFC is very wide open. I think it's very, very wide open. Forget the East. I mean, I'm talking about North, South, West. It's very much wide open. And then you got the AFC. Obviously, it's Kansas City. But there's a lot of good teams in the AFC. I mean, Pittsburgh's undefeated. I mean, you can't overlook that. You know, and they're a plus 124 differential, where the Chiefs are a plus 107. The Colts are good because they defend. I'm not a believer in Phillip Rivers to take you to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl. Tennessee's defense is not good, but they're 7-3. You know, the Raiders are a pretty good team at 6-4. The Bills are a pretty good team, but I don't like them defensively. So there's definitely way more depth in the AFC than there is the NFC. And I think it's more wide open in the NFC, but there's definitely more depth in the AFC. But as far as, you know, just trying to project this thing out, I would say Buffalo, Miami, Pittsburgh. You know, and the other team is the Ravens, that just hasn't looked the same this year. They've lost a couple in a row. Their passing game is very weak, and it looks like teams have figured out Lamar Jackson to an extent. And it's going to be interesting to see what adjustments he and they make going forward. But they're another team that you would certainly look at from a playoff perspective, Colts and Titans, and then, of course, the Chiefs. So let's get a timeout. We'll come back. Warren, I see you. We will certainly sneak in a couple more phone calls before we get out of here. 215-592-9494. Quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll get to you as well. I'm Rob Ellis. WAP Sports Time is 11:46. Wow, there's a promo for you. Welcome back in. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Rob Ellis with the final segment of the program, leading you right into Lions and Texans. And then a little bit later, it'll be Washington versus Dallas. All right, well, as I said, we'll get as many calls in as we can before we have to get out of here. Warren in Gwinnett Valley. Warren, happy Thanksgiving, man.
Hey, Rob, thanks for taking my call. Thanks, brother. And happy Thanksgiving to you and Anthony and Moshe and
thank
everybody
you, sir.
There at WIP.
Same to you. Thanks.
Really appreciate when you take my calls, and nice to talk to you every chance we get.
Appreciate it.
I'm calling about there was a story on online this morning about Joe Burrow's injury and you know, the lack of offensive protection, probably as a result of the general manager not, you know, spending enough money for quality players to put in front of a rookie that really doesn't know his way around an offensive line in a professional game. They were referencing Andrew Luck, how he had to retire early from the physical beating that he took with the Colts, I believe. And I forget if his name, Andrew Carr.
David Carr was Derek Carr's brother, who the expansion Texans team took a beating, and he saw ghosts basically the rest of his career. He was never really the same.
I'm in the same camp with Carson Wentz, where he is now at his age, and the quantity of abuse that he's taken, not only professionally but also before he got to professional leagues, when he was playing in the North Dakota. Mm-hmm. And I think that for his good, he should put himself on injured reserve and seek outside a medical diagnosis to ascertain his true physical and mental condition. Because clearly everybody, you know, besides Carson can acknowledge that he's not the same person.
No, he's not, Warren, but we don't know, right? I mean,
we don't know.
We don't know if it's just, if he's injured, if there's, I don't know, lingering effects from the concussion. I don't know. Like, we don't know any of that. He may be perfectly healthy and just playing awful football. I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know how it looks this badly compared to what it was, but it's, there's something really wrong here. Really
wrong.
My
feeling is that the pressure that he not only puts on himself to perform, but the pressure from the team to perform.
But that's part of the position, though, too, Warren.
I
mean,
if you know inside yourself that something is wrong, and God, knowing that he's a warrior, Jason Kelce is a warrior, they're all warriors in their own right, but when something is really wrong, maybe Carson knows it, maybe the team doctors know it, and
and Warren, I hate to rush you, but I'm up against it.
I know, Rob. I appreciate your time.
Okay,
thank you.
Thanks for getting that in. I don't know right now exactly what it is, and it may be that. All right, I want to thank Anthony Foley, producer of the program. Great job, Ann, as always. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Always appreciate you tuning in, listening. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm Rob Ellis. WIP Sports Time is 11:55.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news,
you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.